All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
Hey, welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, a CW-2 helicopter pilot in Vietnam 100 years ago, 1969. Welcome to our program. Today, I'm really excited. My guest is Mark Leibson. He's a writer for the Vietnam Veterans of America magazine, the Veteran, book reviewer. I think he writes columns, everything else over there. He probably cleans out the building on Friday afternoons. But Mark has been a friend of Veterans Radio. He knows all about these books that we want to talk about today. So I'm encouraging you, you know, to listen to our program. We're going to be talking about some really great gifts for the upcoming season for the veteran in your house. Or if you're a historian, some of these things are going to be really cool for you, too, I think. So, you know, I'm encouraging you, if you do have a book that you'd like to recommend, why don't you give us a call during the program? The number is 734-822-1600. 734-822-1600. Before we start our interview with Mark, let me thank our sponsors, because, of course, we cannot do this program without these wonderful and amazing sponsors that have been supporting Veterans Radio for almost 21 years now, actually going on 22. Jeez, holy cow. So anyway, starting off with Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans specializes in veterans' disability claims. Call Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800 or go to their website, legalhelpforveterans.com. The National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, is the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses. For more information, go to their website, that's nvbdc.org, or give them a call at 888-237-8433. You want to do business with the federal government and many corporations today and claim that you are a veteran-owned business, you got to be certified. And these are the folks that can help you do that. So if you are a veteran-owned business, legitimately a veteran-owned business, give them a call at that number, 888-237-8433. Get yourself certified. You're in like Flint. PuroClean. PuroClean is known as the paramedics of property damage. They provide water damage remediation, flood water removal, fire and smoke damage remediation, mold removal, and all kinds of biohazard cleanups. One of the reasons that we are so happy to have PuroClean become a sponsor here on Veterans Radio is they have a great franchise program, and actually they give you a good deal on this. PuroClean is one of the nation's leading restoration franchise networks and is made up of entrepreneurs just like you. And veterans get 25% off the franchise fee. So for more information, go to puroclean.com. That's PuroClean.com. The Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. For more information, go to va.gov/Ann Arbor Healthcare. The National Vietnam Veterans of America. Never again will one generation of veterans abandon another. For more information, go to their website, vva.org. And locally, the Irwin Press Corps and American Legion Post 46 and the Charles S. Kettles Vietnam Veterans of America, Chapter 310, both of Ann Arbor, Michigan. If you'd like to support Veterans Radio, please go to our website, veteransradio.org, and click on the donate button. Thank you in advance. All right, let's get into our book stories today. So as I mentioned before, my guest is Mark Leibson, and Mark is a senior writer for the VVA Veterans Magazine. That's the Vietnam Veterans of America. He's also the arts editor, columnist, and he's also an author of an upcoming book, which we'll talk about later on. So Mark has been writing book reviews, forever, I think, but I'll bring him right on here. So Mark, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Thanks, Dale. It's always great. I've been writing reviews for, you know, as long as you've been a helicopter pilot, like a good 100 years, you know?
Right. We were back when we were flying, you know, Leonardo da Vinci's version on the helicopter, yeah. I feel sometimes. But it's great to have you back on the program, Mark, and I appreciate you coming on. You know, with the holiday season coming up, I thought this would be kind of an appropriate topic to talk about, because there have been so many just really great books that have come out over the last year. And of course, you know, over time, that maybe we could talk about some. So I'm going to start off by doing one that I did last week. And this was the book was titled Jeep Show. And I thought it was really fun. So the book is titled Jeep Show. It's by Robert O'Connor. And it talks about entertainers being sent up to the front lines during World War II. And, you know, not in organized fashion, but usually three people and a driver would go up as close to the enemy lines as they could get. They would put on a show for the troops out in the field, and then they would skedaddle back behind the lines. And the interesting thing I thought about this, in addition to the historical perspective, was that some of the names that he had mentioned were part of these Jeep shows were Mickey Rooney, Burt Lancaster, Dick Van Dyke, other entertainers, you know, many who were not famous yet that did this. So I would encourage people to check out the Jeep Show. So your turn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, I was just thinking, that was that called Special Services back in World War II?
Yep.
They were all on shows. Yeah.
Yeah. They even have a special MOS for it.
Yeah. My uncle was in Special Services. In Europe, yeah. He was drafted into the army and late in the war. And he tells a story that my cousin, who was born in February of 45, saved him from going over and fighting in the Battle of the Bulge, because he got emergency leave because his daughter was born. He was about to ship out before that. And anyway, he was a dancer and choreographer in New York before. And so when he got there, he missed the Battle of the Bulge, thank God, and did special and put on shows, just like you said. They would come up to the front and really cool. Absolutely.
Well, the guy, the character in the book got caught in the Battle of the Bulge and ended up, you know, having to. You know, everybody was available at that point. And so, you know, I gave him a rifle. He got separated. He ended up doing all kinds of different duties. And, you know, he said he had the privilege of meeting, you know, he got to meet Patton. He got to meet Eisenhower. He saw Marshall. He's, you know, he saw all these people. And it's a kind of a fictionalized account of what really occurred. But, yeah, it's a cool story. I really enjoyed reading it and talking to the author. He's a good guy. You need to talk to him.
Yeah. I put it on the list. Well, so I think looking over the year, I think the book that stood out the most, and you were right, there was a good number of really good books dealing with the war and Vietnam War veterans. And don't forget, that's what I'm specializing in, Vietnam War and Vietnam War veterans. But the one that stood out the most for me was a great history just called The Vietnam War, A Military History, by a University of North Texas professor named Jeffrey Warro, W-A-W-R-O. And, you know, there's been a lot of histories of the Vietnam War. And I was kind of like, oh, no, here comes another one. And, you know, it wasn't short. It was a good 550 pages, but two really important things. One is Professor Warro is a great writer. You know, there was nothing stodgy about this history. So it really helped on a 550-page book if the guy could really write well and you wanted to read, you know, you wanted to keep going. And he calls it a military history. And yes, it is. But he, you know, how could you write a book about a history book about the Vietnam War without considering the politics behind everything? I mean, right, the most political of political wars ever, you know, the big decisions by everybody going back, you know, to Truman and Eisenhower, and including especially Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, you know, almost the entire strategy was almost based on politics, you know, on winning the next election, what they had to do, how they had to, you know, feed put out the image of being strong on communism, against communism. But anyway, so I thought he wove together the politics and, you know, the war on the ground and in the air really well. So I'm putting that on the top of my list as far as nonfiction, as far as history is concerned. It's called just simply The Vietnam War. And I've noticed that it's gotten other good. My review is going to be in the November, December issue of The Veteran, okay. Which is coming out next week. But, you know, because we're bi-monthly, a lot of other reviews have appeared, or several others, and they've all been great. And the book is selling well, especially for a history. So I'm going to put that on the top of the list. The Vietnam War by Professor Jeffrey Waro, Waworo.
Okay. Did you learn anything new from the book?
You know, I don't know that I learned. I learned a few things. You know, I've studied and read and written about this war for 40 years now. And I think what I learned from him reinforced what I knew to a great degree. And also, I think that for those who haven't read The History of the War in detail, this would be a great book to start with. I mean, it's very accessible. Like I said, it's very readable. It's not, you know, and it's not a political book, even though it's talking about this political war. He does take his stands on criticizing, you know, American politicians, generals, but he also is not easy on the other side. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'll read a lot of stuff about Lai Xuan, for instance, and Lai Duc Tho, to a lesser extent, Ho Chi Minh. And the other top leadership in North Vietnam that's not exactly, you know, favorable. So I would say that I learned little bits here and there stuff, but mostly, and he did a hell of a lot of research, including in Hanoi and in England. You know, he went to England, spent a lot of time in the British museum archives because the Brits had, if they didn't have relations, they did have a lot of correspondence going back and forth between their foreign office and the other side in the Vietnam War, you know. So, and he did go into Vietnamese archives, but I like that perspective, you know, where you're getting a sort of an outside view of it, but also someone who's got information from the inside as far as the other side is concerned. So I'm putting that on the top of the list.
That sounds really interesting. Let's see. I'll put that one over. I'll put that one over in the 500-page books over there.
Yeah,
which is kind of cool. One of the ones I wanted to talk about was one that you also had reviewed, and we borrowed it here on Veterans Radio and actually played it. And that was the one called "The Women," which is a national bestseller out there. It's by Kirsten Hanna, and it's sort of a. And I have it listed here also with another book about Army nurses that were in Vietnam. And it's, to me, it's sort of a story of Diane Carlson Evans with her book, Healing Wounds. I don't know. It was what, you know, like you said, it was one of the books that I picked up and I just couldn't put it down. It was, you know, just, it's the story of a young woman who, for whatever reason, decides that she's going to join the military and wants to be a nurse and wants to go to Vietnam. And what she does there is she's a great, you know, great nurse, a great, great military person. And then it talks about her struggles when she got home. And it's, you know, and then everybody kind of thinks, okay, well, you know, it's always the infantry guy that comes home and they're the ones that struggle. Well, I think the nurses were probably exposed to more gore and damage and anything than anybody in the field was. And I really enjoyed your interview on this. And the book is just, it's a must read, I think, for men and women. It doesn't, even if you're not in the military, I think it's a must read.
100%. I agree with you. I first heard about the book from Diane Carlson Evans. she alerted me to the book. I knew of Kristen Hanna's work. She's she writes really romance novels, bestsellers, and Diane, Kristen, to her credit, read Diane's book, like you said, Healing Wounds, which was a really terrific book. It came out during the pandemic in 2020, and it didn't get as much publicity as it should have, but it's out there, and it's also a good seller. But talk about bestseller, Dale. I mean, the first printing of The Women was 1 million copies, and it immediately, this was back in February of this year, and it went right to number one, stayed around number one best-selling book, for weeks, if not months. It's still on the bestseller list. It's really hit a nerve. It really does illuminate what the women nurses went through in the Vietnam War and after, of course. Her, Frankie, the lead character, her trials and tribulations after are almost worse than the mud and the blood that she was into in the Vietnam War. So it's a great story. Kristen Hanna is nothing if not a great storyteller. And like you said, it's a good companion piece to Diane Carlson Evans's memoir, Healing Wounds, and also, the first really good eye-opening memoir of a Vietnam War nurse, and that was Linda Vandevanter's Home Before Morning. Linda, that brings me to another book, but Home Before Morning, you have it.
It is. If I don't laugh, I'll cry.
Oh, that was going to be my next suggestion. Yeah. So Linda's daughter, Molly Stillman, wrote a memoir called If I Don't Laugh, I'll Cry. And boy, was it really good. I mean, Molly was a little girl when her mom came home, and she grew up. And Linda, of course, just like Diana and just like virtually all the other nurses over there, had PTSD, like you said. Even the guys who were in the thick of things did not see as much of, of mud and blood close up as the nurses did, not on a daily basis, but almost on a daily basis. If you remember in The Women, Frankie's first day at the evac hospital, she's in it, ankle deep in it because of, guys are coming in and triage and helicopter from the helicopter medevacs. So, So Molly's book tells her mother's story. She does it. It's great about in there about Linda writing the book, how she came to write it, the reaction to the book. And then, of course, people may probably know Linda got sick and she died at a fairly young age. And it was really, really tough on Molly, of course, her daughter and Linda's husband. And she goes over that. But I say that for anybody who has read Linda's book, this one is a must too. If I don't laugh, I'll cry. And part of it is because they had such a great sense of humor, even though Linda was going through hell physically. I'm glad you brought that up because that was going to be my next one to mention in conjunction with the women. And I feel fortunate that I knew Linda Vandevanter through my work at Vietnam Veterans of America. And she was a wonderful person, a great nurse. She went into nursing after she came home. So did Diane Evans. And they're nurses, nurses, they're giving people and they're caring people. And of course, all of us who served in the, in the Vietnam War owe a great debt to them and the doctors.
Right. Absolutely. I think so. The next one I wanted to talk to is I saw this little ad in the VVA magazine one time, and it's called In the Shadows of Vietnam. It's a book about Father Philip Salois.
Salwa.
That's right. He's Wa. Yeah. Salwa. I have to pronounce it correctly. Thank you, Mark. And it was written by two of his friends, Julian and, Julian and Yacht. AYOTTE and Paul Carancy. And I just thought this story was great. It's about Father Phil, who was in the infantry in Vietnam and received a Silver Star for what he did. And it was one of those stories where if He kind of made this promise that if I survive, you know, I'll do whatever you tell me to do, God, I promise. And God told him to go to the seminary, and it kind of went from there. But he's always been involved with veterans issues over the last 60 years, like many of us. And it was a wonderful interview that I did with him back in the spring. And he's just, you know, he's one of those people that you could just listen to on and on and on, because he's always saying the right thing, and he's always encouraging, and he's always, you know, wanting to know what he can do to help. And that's what he's been doing his whole life.
Yeah, luckily enough, too, I've known Father Phil for a long time. You know, he's been VVA's national chaplain all these years, decades. He's a great man, a great man of God. And like you said, he went through hell in Vietnam and made a battlefield promise. God, if I get through this, I'm going to go into the clergy. And he did. And he's a great guy. And that's a good tale of his life, that book right there.
I think you can, you know, because the first part of the book, of course, is his experiences in Vietnam. And the brief part of it is that he crawled out across a battlefield and was dragging a wounded person back, more than one. And so, you know, he received a Silver Star, which is, you know, you got to do a lot to get one of those. And he was cool. So anyway, the book is In the Shadow of Vietnam. I really encourage people to get that if they get the opportunity. So where are we going next?
I have a list, but
okay. I do too.
Let me talk about two books real quick, both of which are, I never know the term graphic novel, you know, like a comic book, but they're novelizations. They're both true stories, but they're not fictionalized through drawing and writing. And one of them is called Drafted by a guy named Rick Parker, which tells the story of how he was drafted into the Army when he was, flunked out of college in 1966 and basic training. And then he was chosen for OCS, even though he was drafted. He went to OCS, became artillery, and he wound up in White Sands, New Mexico, dealing with nuclear, bombs or nuclear warheads and that kind of stuff. And Rick Parker is a great graphic artist. He worked at Marvel for 15 years. He did the drawing of all the Beavis and Butthead graphic novels. And his book is just great. I know, you know, it's like he has a great story to tell. A lot of things happen, including death and the Vietnam War, even though he never left the United States. Accident and different stuff like that. And he draws so well, and he remembers stuff. I just say that anybody who went through basic training, whether they were drafted or not, and advanced training, AIT, in the Army, and probably in the Navy, Marines, and Air Force too, would really, really relate to this book, especially the first, three-fourths of it, talking about the training and stuff that happened. And the other graphic novelization is called The Heart That Fed. The Heart That Fed. And it's by a young guy named Carl Scacchitano. And it tells his father's story, who was in the Air Force during the Vietnam War, but late in the war, in, I guess, 72 or 73. And he wound up with a Marine detachment. And, you know, you would think a guy in the Air Force and, whatever, but he was close to it. He also had PTSD. And the book goes through Carl's growing up with his father, who didn't talk about the war, but it manifested the PTSD symptoms. And again, it's a graphic novel, a.k.a. comic book, a.k.a. novelization, that really, really uses words and drawings and images to really tell a great Vietnam War and Vietnam post-war story and a family story. And so again, it's called The Heart That Fed by Carl Scacchitano.
Okay.
So those are two graphic novels. Yeah, go ahead.
Graphic novels. I know I covered a couple of those. I had one that I kind of piggybacks on that, but it was from World War II. And the book was entitled, like, well, Tell No War Stories, What Our Fathers Left Unsaid About World War II. And this is about by Howard Mansfield. And he's talking about his father. And he says, after coming home from World War II, Pincus was his name, Mansfield refused to tell anyone about his time as a waist gunner on a B-17. And his sons knew nothing about what their father did during the war until he moved into a veteran's home toward the end of his life. And when they started cleaning out his house, they came across their dad's diary. And it just, it's a fascinating story, and it's a great memoir, and the book has been written just, I don't know, I guess the word is lovingly written by his son. And I would encourage for people, because we all know, you know, anybody who's grown up with a relative who was in the service, especially your dad, you know, they never talked about what they did. They never really talked about what happened, or good times or bad times. And, you know, you really want to go back and find out more about their lives. And this is one example of that. And I know there are many out there, but this one I thought was very good. It says, I will tell no war stories, what our fathers left unsaid.
Yeah, great topic. Great topic.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
You don't know who they are and what they're doing. Let's see. What else have I got here?
Can I drop one in real quick?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. I mean, and in a kind of a different vein, and a good one, I think. You know, James Lee Burke, the crime novelist, the thriller, cop thriller novelist. Well, of course, he does much more than that. But he's the one who created Dave Robichaux, the Cajun detective, Vietnam War veteran who is PTSD, you know, recovering alcoholic, and a great man who cares about other people, you know, risks his life to help people who are victims of crime down in the bayou of Louisiana. So, I think there are 28 Dave Robichaux. I've read all of them. And James Lee Burke is just a great writer. I mean, he creates great characters. Well, Dave's partner in crime, you know, not really crime, but in fighting crime, although these two guys get kind of wild sometimes and push the envelope as law enforcement officers. Both were kicked off the New Orleans Police Department for behavior that crossed the line, trying to help good people. But anyway, his partner in crime, in fighting crime, was a guy named Cleet Purcell, who was a Marine in Vietnam, who went through hell there too. Also has his issues with PTSD. And James Lee Burke's newest novel, which came out this year, is just called Cleet. And in it, Dave and Cleet go at it once again, fighting the most evil crime doers, standing up for the little guy, going over the line. But all in, and it's all just great, fast page turning, police procedural. I love James Lee Burke. He's a great writer. He's in his late 80s now, and he's still pumping out these great novels. Yeah. So I just wanted to get that one in just in case we're running out of time a little bit.
No, I think that's cool. I love to hear, you know, especially, you know, the uplifting stories about Vietnam veterans, because unfortunately, Mark, as you know, and, you know, when we first got back into the real world, the stories that were being written at the time were not very positive, you know, about the Vietnam veteran. And, you know, and then we had the movies, you know, coming out with the Apocalypse Nows and the Rambos and so on and so forth. And there weren't very many redeeming qualities regarding the Vietnam veteran. And so this is one of the reasons why I'd love to read these stories that are written, as you know, by Vietnam veterans who, you know, can kind of really get that true story out there. And that, you know, we were just regular people just doing our jobs and, you know, have the same issues that anybody that, you know, comes back from war has. You know, one of the books that I have talked about recently was, and I know you know the name of it, I'm trying to think of it, but it was Achilles in Vietnam.
Oh, yeah.
And that, you know, was written by, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he talks about the history of the warrior, basically, and how, you can't, you know, you can't expect, you know, warriors coming home from war, whether it's the Peloponnesian Wars or from Afghanistan, not to have something going on in their head that, you know, that they're trying to work their way through. And I think it's important for our audiences to remember that, that, you know, because what he was talking about was that the Greek armies, they would take them out somewhere for a month before they would let them go back into the community. And, and today, even the guys and women that are coming back, or that, you know, that came back from Afghanistan and Syria and so forth, they don't go straight home.
You know. Yeah, it's called decompression. And we didn't get that. Remember?
Yes.
We came home with a jet plane. We were home within 24 hours, and then they sent us right back into quote unquote normal life.
Yes.
Right?
You suddenly had to go back, you know, go back to your job at wherever it was, and you definitely weren't ready for it. We're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking about books that have come out during 2024 that you may be interested in, and maybe some books that came out even earlier that just talk about military, about veterans, military history, and so forth. So stick around, stay tuned. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We will be right back.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Army Captain Ed Freeman flew 14 rescue missions under intense enemy fire, saving 30 seriously wounded soldiers. Details after this.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
As a flight leader, Freeman supported a heavily engaged American infantry battalion in the I Trang Valley in the Republic of Vietnam. The unit was almost out of ammunition after taking some of the heaviest casualties of the war, fighting off a relentless attack from a highly motivated, heavily armed enemy force. When the infantry commander closed the helicopter landing zone due to intense direct enemy fire, Freeman risked his own life by flying his unarmed helicopter through a gauntlet of enemy fire time after time, delivering critically needed ammunition, water, and medical supplies to the besieged battalion. His flights had a direct impact on the battle's outcome by providing the engaged units with timely supplies of ammunition critical to their survival. After medical evacuation helicopters refused to fly into the area due to intense enemy fire, Captain Freeman flew 14 separate rescue missions, providing life-saving evacuation of an estimated 30 seriously wounded soldiers, some of whom would not have survived had he not acted. All flights were made into a small emergency landing zone within 100 to 200 yards of the defensive perimeter, where heavily committed units were perilously holding off the attacking elements.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. We can all help someone going through a difficult time. Learn how you can be there for veterans. Visit VeteransCrisisLine.net. VeteransCrisisLine.net. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
Hey, we're back here on Veterans Radio. And we're going to be talking, we're talking with Mark Leibson, and we're talking about books today. So let's get right back into this, Mark. I've got one that's just kind of a handy book, and I think it's important. It's a book about veterans benefits, and it's called Veterans Benefits for You, Get What You Deserve. It's by Dr. Paul Lawrence. And it's a really, it's just a small paperback, maybe 200 pages or so, but it's got some great information in there about how you can do business with the VA and, you know, eventually hopefully get the benefits that you are entitled to and that you, earned as you go along. So, yeah, this is just kind of side. It's called Veterans Benefits for You, Get What You Deserve, Dr. Paul Lawrence. And he's a, he was a good guy, too.
Yeah.
He's hopefully I'm going to have him back on the program in a couple of months, because he does, we do a benefits program once a month, and he's asked, you know, volunteered to come back on. So we'll have him back on again.
Okay. I got also another history book for you. It's a history and a memoir. it's called Diplomats at War. Diplomats at War. And the author was Charles Trueheart. And it deals with Charlie's father, Bill Trueheart, who was the number two at the U.S. Embassy in Saigon in the early 1960s. So this book tells about what happened through a historical standpoint and through the standpoint of Charlie Trueheart, who he was a kid. He was like in the middle school and maybe started high school. Because, you know, remember, dependents were still allowed to be there back then and before the war got really amped up, although stuff was happening in 1960, 61, 62, 63. But it's also, but it's told through his eyes. And he went on to be a journalist. He was a foreign correspondent for the Washington Post. And so it's a dual story of this, you know, the historic events that happened, you know, the Buddhist crisis, and then, of course, the assassination of ZM, you know, on November 2nd, 1963. And, you know, I've studied the Vietnam War for a long time. I'm really interested. I'm interested in everything, but I've had particular interest in how the U.S. got involved in the war, starting with the end of the World War II in 1945, through the French War from 45 to 54, and then those decisions that were made in the early 50s to help out the French regain their Indochinese colonies, which we did. We didn't send any personnel, but we underwrote that war. And then after the French lost in 1954, you know, we slowly began to get involved until, you know, we were in a war. And, of course, what happened in 1963, and so Diplomats at War is a great title because it talks about, you know, his father, who was the number two in the embassy, and Fritz Nolting, who was the ambassador. They were friends and colleagues from, they were both foreign service, career foreign service officers. It was not an appointment of a, you know, somebody who knew the president to be the ambassador to South Vietnam. And they were both chosen to take this post mostly because they spoke French. And when they got there, they found the war was, you know, bubbling up. The Buddhist crisis was going on. And they had this big disagreement over whether the U.S. should continue to support President Diem, who was cracking down on the Buddhists, his brother, remember, Nu, was the head of the secret police, and they had like a, you know, a suppression of freedom of the press, student protest, and so on. So there was a big debate within American Vietnam policy making in Washington and in Saigon over whether to continue support Diem or not to. And of course, we all know what happened. And Nolting, the ambassador, and Charlie's father, Bill Trueheart, were on opposite sides of that. Nolting wanted to stay with Diem. Trueheart originally did and then came to see that he thought he should go. So they were at war with each other. So this is a great title of the book. Anyway, we know what happened, and we kind of get a really good ringside seat on that one from a personal standpoint, and the history is really good too. So, and it's a good read. It's called Diplomats at War by Charles Trueheart.
Charles Trueheart. Okay.
Yeah, Trueheart.
Got it. All right. So kind of going back in time and talking about what's, you know, how all of these issues and these famous names that we heard as children stuff. I just finished a book. It's called Team America, and it's about World War II. And it's the Team America is about George Patton, MacArthur, Marshall, and Eisenhower, and how the world was made in their image. And it's really great for any of you historians out there or World War II you know, history buffs that want to know more about what went on. I found this to be a really good read. It's in an audio book as well, which is, you know, sometimes a little easier to listen to sometimes. But you find out all this interaction between, George Patton, and who was, you know, aristocrat, came from a rich family, all these other things, always felt neglected because he went to, he didn't go to West Point like the rest of them did. And so he has these complexes, but he's based on what every one of them said, you know, he was the best fighting general in the history of America. He just, nothing ever stopped him. And George Marshall, who was, you know, overall commander in chief of all of the theaters going on at the time, which most of us weren't aware of. And, eventually after World War II, he set up the Marshall Plan, which, to rebuild Europe, the great Eisenhower, which many of us grew up thinking he was just the coolest guy out there. And because, you know, he personally won World War II, which we know is not true, but, from his humble beginnings in, you know, Kansas, and he ended up being a staff officer for MacArthur, and MacArthur, who's, you know, been called the American Caesar, whose personality would drive anybody crazy, but he was a great general. And, you know, men always respected him, loved him, and all these other things. So anyway, this is a book you history buffs, you got to read. It's one of those 400 or 500 page guys, but it's an excellent read. It's by Robert L. O'Connell, C-O-N-N-E-L-L. It's in paperback. It's not too bad. It's a great read. You get to find out what was going on, you know, when you were just before you were born. So Team America, I strongly recommend it.
My turn?
Yep, your turn.
Okay. Yeah, one of the better memoirs that I read this year was a book called Found by a guy named Jack McClain, who was a Marine in the Vietnam War. And Jack had, it's really well written. It deals with some really interesting stuff that happened to him afterward, after he came home. Jack wrote a really good memoir that came out a bunch of years ago called Loon, L-O-O-N, which was Landing Zone Loon, and it talks about, it's a definite one of the better in-country Vietnam War novels. So this book, Found, is a follow-up, and it talks about his long fight to, you know, with PTSD, with getting his benefits that he earned from the VA. And when I say long, it took years and years and years and years. But it also deals with his effort to bring the family of one of his buddies who was killed in Vietnam together. And it's a really intriguing story of, a generational split in a family that Jack only, it took him a long time to figure out and to figure out how to help. And I don't want to give too much away, but it's really intriguing. And there is a happy ending for it. So it's Jack McClain. He's a Marine. His first book was called Loon, which is really a great Vietnam War memoir. And then his follow-up, which came out this year, probably 15, 20 years after the other one, is called Found, F-O-U-N-D.
These are great stories. You know, I wish I could write like you guys do. It's not that I have a great story to tell, but I would love to get it down. So, you know, my son and granddaughter and stuff, you know, want to know what did you do? I don't know. Here it is. But, they're good stories. I got one that's a little bit more current that, my partner Jim Falzone had on it when he was doing a program. And the book is entitled Always Faithful. And it's the story of the war in Afghanistan, the fall of Kabul, and the unshakable bond between a Marine and an interpreter. It's by a Major Tom Schuman, S-C-H-U-E-M-A-N, and, Zainullah Zaki. And, he was the interpreter. It talks about the bond between the Marine and his interpreter, and how after the fall of Afghanistan, how he worked so hard to get his interpreter out and all of the roadblocks that he ran into. It turns out to be a pretty good story. I'm not going to, I don't want to give everything away either, But I would really encourage people to read this. It's a, you know, these things occur. I can remember we have a family here locally who escaped from Cambodia. You know, when we had that little incursion there, they escaped from Cambodia to Thailand. We're in Thailand 4, 5, 6 years, ended up finally getting to America, lived 20 in an apartment in California. And now they own a bakery franchise system all across the country. It's a great success story. It's for those locally in Ann Arbor, just go to Dom's Bakery and ask them about it. But the idea of trying to get these people that did so much to help the American troops, you know, in their country, and the difficulty that they had with the agreements that some people didn't, you know, keep. Let's put it that way. But it's a great story. It's called Always Faithful, Major Ton Shulman. It's a good story. It's a really good story. It's one of those that you know, it's another up all night story. So your turn.
Okay. This one is two, Vietnam War and post-Vietnam War. It's called The Face of the Enemy. The Face of the Enemy. And it's written by David Chung, C-H-U-N-G. And David has a tie to Diane Carlson Evans in that he is an Air Force Vietnam War veteran. Again, he kind of like I was talking about the Carl Sacchitano's father, who was in the Air Force in the latter stages of the war. So was David. And he went up and I guess it was 72, 73. He saw a lot of horrible stuff there during his Vietnam War tour. He also had PTSD when he came back. But he, you know, got himself together and he got a job with FedEx, and he kept going up the ladder on FedEx. And then when the Vietnam, I mean, you might remember this, Dale, when the Women's Memorial, the Vietnam Women's Memorial was built in, I guess, so they had their 30th anniversary last year, so it was 93. The centerpiece of the memorial is a sculpture by Glenna Woodacre, and her studio, you know, of the three nurses, and her studio is in, I think, New Mexico or someplace way up there in the Southwest. Well, the question was how to get that statue to Washington, D.C. in time for the memorial. Well, David heard about it, and he managed to talk to Fred Smith. You know who Fred Smith is. Right. He's founder and CEO of FedEx. He was a Marine in the Vietnam War. And so Fred Smith gave David the job of packing this thing up. I mean, it's huge, and getting it cross country in time for the dedication. And what happened was, as they designed a special truck that had, you could, was open on the sides. When I'm maybe not getting this totally right, but basically when they made their first, and it took like, I don't know, a week or 10 days to get across country. When they made their first stop, when they parked the thing overnight, people came out to watch. And by the hundreds, by the thousands eventually, and they eventually changed the route so it could go through more cities for people to take a look at this great statue. And they did get it there on time. And it's a great success. And that's, you know, one part of David's story in The Face of the Enemy. The other is, since he's Asian American, his face. He talks about how being Asian and being a U.S. member of the U.S. Air Force, the impact that that had on him. And it wasn't always a positive thing, you know, in country or after the war. So I recommend that book.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember. I must have read that one because it sounded, I remember the story.
I reviewed it in the magazine.
There you
so
go.
Maybe,
maybe yeah. I read it there. Well, you know, anyway, you know, if people wanted to read your reviews, the regular audience can go and do that, can't they?
Yeah,
I mean, they can access the magazine.
On the online version, comes out, you know, a couple of weeks after each print edition. So vvaveteran.org, and then scroll down and hit the key for books. Books and Review is the name of the column. Are we going to talk about this other great book that's coming out like in December?
Yeah. Yeah, we actually we are, because I just got the sign. We got about 3-4 minutes to go. So I'd like to introduce the author of a new book that is coming out. It's called The Unlikely War Hero. And it's so tell me all about this book, not in detail, because we're going to do that again in December.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Dale. Yeah, The Unlikely War Hero is the story of the youngest and lowest ranking American taken prisoner in North Vietnam and held in the Hanoi Hill. His name was Doug Hegdahl. He was a Navy seaman apprentice, 20 years old, fell off his ship in April of 1967 in the Gulf of Tonkin while the big guns were firing. Nobody saw it. The ship pulled away. Somehow he survived, and this was like 4 o'clock in the morning. He survived 2 to 3 hours, maybe even longer, in the South China Sea. He was about to go under when a fishing boat, North Vietnamese fishing boat, picked him up. They actually saved his life, but then they shipped him up to Hanoi. He goes to the Hanoi Hilton, and there he is in with all those John McCain's and Jeremiah Dentons and all those guys 10 years older than him, flyboys. He's a 20-year-old kid from Clark, South Dakota. And then it turns out he has this great memory. People may know the story. It's been out there, but no one's told it in a book before. And he winds up memorizing 254 names, ranks, and services of prisoners. And when he does, the Americans, you know, they had their own unofficial chain of command in the prison. They ordered him to come home. And he hesitated at first, then he did. When he got home, he rattled off those names. And the Pentagon was able to change the status of 63 men from missing in action to prisoner of war. In other words, they told their families that their husbands' fathers were alive because of what Doug did. So this is a great story, this unlikely war hero. And well, let's talk about it on the show in depth, okay?
Yes, we will. We will. And when does that come out?
The official pub date is December 17th. You can order it now on Amazon and all the other online. It should be in bookstores by next week. I'm trying to get excited about my books, but I'm kind of excited about this one. So it'd be my 11th book, but my first book really that deals totally with the Vietnam War.
Okay. Well, I know that I have heard the story, but, I'm anxious to hear you know, what you got, 'cause I know you did more research on it and so forth.
100%. And a lot of the stuff you hear about Doug is either, you know, exaggerated or not true. I got it. I think I got it all right. I talked to 5 POWs, did a lot of research.
Okay. All right. Well, Mark Leibson, thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio today. We talked about a lot of books. I'm going to try to get all the names of them up on our website so people can go and say, oh, that's where I heard about it. So I encourage people to do that. So, Mark, thanks very much. I'll be talking with you next month.
My pleasure, Dale. Thanks for doing what you do, man.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're going to be taking, ending our program today, and we're going to go out on our America the Beautiful, and it's going to be John Fountain this time, and it's kind of a cool version of the song. As you know, I think this song is really important. So pay attention, stick around. Next week is benefits program, and until then, this is Dale Thronberry for Veterans Radio. You are dismissed.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home. died with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of gray, for